Fra Lodegear said,
"We are on the third messel already. The first seemed to be about world tracks and hemspace as a way of understanding the physical universe, which was unobjectionable to me until it turned out to be a stalking horse for the Hylian theoric world. The second was a trip to the circus, except that instead of gawking at contortionists, jugglers, and prestidigitators, we marveled at the intellectual backflips, sword-swallowing, and misdirection in which devotees of the HTW must engage if they are not to be thrown back as a religious cult. That's quite all right. It was good to get it out of our systems, and I commend the Adharian plurality here for having, as it were, laid their cards on the messel. But what may we now say about the matter at hand, which is, in case anyone has forgotten, the Pact, their capabilities and intentions?"
"Why do they look like us, for one thing?"
asked Sur Asquin.
"That is the question that my mind returns to over and over again."
"Thank you, Sur Asquin," I exclaimed back in the kitchen.
I was scattering breadcrumbs over the top of a casserole. I can't believe how little attention has been paid to that little detail.
"People simply don't know what to make of it. Have no idea where to begin," said Sur Triss.
And as if to confirm this, a welter of voices was coming through on the speaker. I hauled the oven door open and thrust the casserole in, arranging it on the center of a hand-forged iron rack. Fra Lodegear was going on about parallel evolution, how on Arb, physically similar but totally unrelated species had evolved to fill similar niches on different continents.
"Your point is well taken, Fra Lodegear," said Javarn, "but I believe that the similarities are too close to be explained by parallel evolution. Why do the geometers have five fingers, one of which is an opposable thumb? Why not seven fingers and two thumbs?"
"Do you have some knowledge of the Pact that has been withheld from the rest of us?" demanded Lodegear. "What you say is true of the one specimen we have seen, the Antarct woman. The other three geometer species might have seven fingers, for all we know."
"Of course you are correct," Javarn said. "But the Antarct Arbor correspondence, taken alone, seems too great to be accounted for by parallel evolution."
The point was argued all the way through the soup course. We servitors made our rounds, staggering and sidling through a messel and congested with rucksacks. For we had all been told that one should never let one's rucksack out of sight, so that even if the dispersal order were accompanied by a power blackout or some sort of disaster that filled the air with dust and smoke, one would be able to find it by touch. Since we servitors couldn't very well carry them up and down the serving corridor, we had bent the rules by leaving ours lined up along the corridor wall. The Doines kept theirs behind the chairs in the messelin, and flipped their badges back over their shoulders to eat. Ignatha Forrell put a stop to the thumb and finger discourse with a glance at Sur Esquin, who silenced the room with another of her magisterial throat clearings.
"In the absence of further givens, the parallel evolution hypothesis cannot be rationally evaluated."
"I agree,"
said Lodegear in a wistful tone.
"The alternative hypothesis seems to be some sort of leakage of information through the wick. If I have been taking up Fra Paflagon's argument..."
Fra Paflagon looked a bit uneasy.
"The word leakage makes it sound like a malfunction. It is nothing of the kind, just normal flow, or, if you will, percolation along the world dag."
"This percolation you speak of, until now I fancied it was all Theors seeing timeless truths about isosceles triangles," Lodegear said. "I oughtn't to be surprised by the ever-escalating grandiosity of these claims, but aren't you now asking us to believe something even more colossal? Correct me if I'm wrong, but did you just try to link percolation of information through the wick to biological evolution?"